This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Is it fixable? The things that we saw the Cowboys do on Sunday that drove us insane, and mostly, Kevin, it was the fact that Aaron Jones went crazy against the Cowboys.
And he was terrible the 2 weeks before.
He had four touchdowns on the day on the ground. And I don't know, he had like 30 different people there for his from his family and friends there. But did you hear, was it the second or third touchdown when he ran in the end zone, got next to the camera and said, "This is my house"? And that's something that like you just can't allow to happen whenever you're a defense. You can't allow a running back to walk in there, have three touchdowns, and say, "This is my house." That's impossible. You can't let it happen. The Cowboys' defensive front didn't look good enough to stop anything throughout the day until Garrett blew a gasket. After that, and go back and watch, a lot of the players on the sideline didn't see what happened. They weren't around. DeMarcus Lawrence was standing next to Garrett when it happened. So maybe he got fired up and sent a message to the guys. But a lot of the players were all over on the benches and doing other stuff when all this went down. They just heard the reaction of the crowd. That being said, something happened where they were able to finally make some stops later in the game. But throughout the entire game, the defensive tackles were getting abused. And I don't know how you fix this thing. 877-881-1053. The defensive tackles are hurting this team. How do you fix it? Is it a new scheme? New players?
It's a new defensive coordinator who gets to make some of these decisions.
That's Chris Richard.
No.
He's the defensive coordinator.
No.
He is the defensive coordinator. He calls the plays.
No. I'm talking about the people or the person who gets to pick out some of these players. Like your last two premium defensive picks, one of them was already a waste. And the early look at the next one is it's a waste. You know, like, so, and people could say, like, that's way too early to jump to that conclusion. Fair enough. I'm just saying, so far, your top pick has given you a big bag of nothing.
Now, that right there, that means you fire the defensive coordinator at the end of the season or Rob Marinelli at the end of the season and address it in the offseason.
Which means that I don't particularly think it is fixable right now, because those are two players that should be the core of your defensive line right now. I know would be, woulda, shoulda, coulda, but they should. Like, your top draft picks should be the core of your team right now. And so many places on this team, the core of the team is draft picks. But like where you need it the most, it's not easy to see. It's not hard to see what happens when you don't draft well. Where your defensive line is struggling because the person who's like, "I can do anything," they got the chance to make some of these decisions, at least in part, and they failed.
Wait, they make the decisions? Who ultimately drafts the players?
I mean, I still think it's whoever has the most persuasive argument. I don't think it's Jerry Jones.
Well, Will McClay takes credit for Taco.
So I hear.
Is that falling on the sword?
Yes. That's what I think. And I know Broadus said that. And I'm not directly disputing Broadus, but I think it's smart. I think that's what somebody does. And if Will McClay deserves some of the blame, fair enough. But I can give you plenty of other examples where I thought he found somebody really good and turned him into something. Where are all the examples of all the players that Rod Marinelli turned into something? Give me those examples. Because I would like to hear them, and then I'll back down.
I don't know if I have any of those. You know what my problem is? My problem with this team, and we've seen this pretty much every single game, except for I think maybe one, and that is coming out and not being ready to play football. Coming out and just barely getting by. You're not coming out of the blocks going, "Hey, all right, it's time to go, let's go." There's no sense of urgency with this team. And you saw against a Packers team that can put up points, they put up points while the defense and the offense was either shooting themselves in the foot or just not getting there. If there was an extra gear after Garrett, my problem is why wasn't that engaged as soon as the first whistle went?
Yeah, no, and that goes straight to the defense. And here's something that I'm kind of questioning is the defense, are they depicted by things that happen offensively. Now, in the third series that the Packers had, your defensive ends were Hyder and Dorrance Armstrong. And listen, I love our depth whenever we have three other really good defensive linemen out there. If I got to throw a depth guy out there for a breather, I'm fine with that. But you threw out your B team on your defensive line. It got run past too. And that was the third series. And they just walked all the way up and down the field. If Dak goes out there and throws that first interception, which it was Amari Cooper, it was right off his hands. If that happens, did the defense go, here we go again?
I mean, if so, then that even furthers my perception that the coaching staff needs to get the hell out of here. Because if your defense is so mentally weak that you turn the ball over and you're thinking the game is lost or here we go again, I mean, that should be like, if anything, it might not be realistic to stop them, but that should fire you up.
I would
want to go out there and be like, I'm going to save your ass again.
Yeah, and then hopefully that's not a problem, because at some point the offense is going to save their ass. At some point, everybody's going to do their part to take care of the business of it.
Oh, yeah, no, that's true.
With the scheme, I asked Jeff this earlier. Who's in charge of making the decisions when it comes to what the team is doing in places? And when I'm talking about this, I'm talking specifically about the defense. Because Rashard is calling the plays. If you're the guy that's calling the plays, if you're the guy that's the defensive coordinator, then are you in charge of saying, okay, now the defensive line, what they're doing is not working, we have to change that? Or, no, I can't step on Rod Marinelli's toes. I mean, we still have him. That's what his job is to do. Because they're doing spin moves in the defensive tackles. They're not getting into their gaps. They're all over the place. And they're creating more holes than they're plugging. And that's a problem. They literally were being blocked everywhere by themselves sometimes. By themselves. They're blocking themselves out of plays. At the defensive tackle position, they are struggling. So, is it Chris Richard's job to go to Marinelli and say, we gotta streamline what we're doing here because it's not working? Or is it Marinelli's job? There's a big problem, and I don't know if that's fixable if it's scheme, because it's been Marinelli's scheme for so long.
I think it's Richard's job because it's been Marinelli's scheme for so long. And how often are people like, you know, people in general, they don't want to take the blame for things. I've been guilty of this before as well. You don't want to take the blame for things that are your fault. So if it's Marinelli's scheme, like, he might say the right thing, but at the same time, is he going to be like, look, my scheme is garbage because the game has passed me by? No. So, I mean, Chris Richard doesn't need to phrase it like that, because that would be very inconsiderate. But I think Chris Richard is, or somebody on that defensive staff, is the person who needs to step up and say, hey, this scheme ain't working, or this philosophy ain't working, because I do not think that it's going to be Marinelli, to your question, that's going to make this suggestion.
How much can you blame schematics and scheme when, I mean, it seemed like for the entirety of the game, not just your defensive line, but then your linebackers weren't in the right position. Not doing the very basics of defense. Talking about keeping outside contained, you know, getting to the gap and filling it, and like you said, tackling.
Yeah, and that's another question I have. Is Rashard the guy that goes to talk to the linebacker coach? I mean, Marinelli's still got the title, kind of, right, as defensive coordinator. But I've given play calling duties over to this guy because when he calls the plays, we seem to do well. Well, now who has to go talk to the linebackers coach about why aren't your guys tackling? Yeah, if it's all on Chris Richard, put it all on his plate and let's go.
Right.
And I guess it's going to have to be on Garrett to make that call and say, okay, guys, this is what we follow now. This is the role y'all have to be part of. Y'all have to figure out how to get these guys doing their jobs properly. Because, yeah, you can't have Leighton Vander Esch walking out and having the worst first quarter of his life. I don't think I've ever seen him play that bad. Missing tackles all over the field in the wrong place. It was bad. And Jalen Smith behind on a lot of plays. But they're not filling their gaps. They're not where they're supposed to be. And you know what? A lot of it does have to do with the fact that the defensive line was getting pushed back into them or not creating enough space for them to sink into. Whenever your defensive front gets push or starts creating chaos up there, then your linebackers can find the gap that they're supposed to fill and get there. But they couldn't even find it because they were all over the place. The defensive line was everywhere. I don't think it's fixable. And the talent that you have there is not good enough right now. Malik Collins got bullied. I mean, he absolutely got abused in this game. And I don't think Covington is, I know you put him, you say he's a big body. That's fine. He has a big body. But he's not getting any push. He's not winning. Tyrone Crawford's the only guy that's winning whenever it comes to, hey, I got to push that guy straight back into the quarterback. I'll do it. He's the only one that was doing it in this game. The other two defensive linemen, they were standing there or getting pushed out of plays.
So the concerning part of all of this is, go back to your original question, defensive tackles. You could maybe expand out to the defensive line in general. New scheme, new players, let it ride till the offseason. I don't think you have a whole lot of choices. Like, I think you need a new scheme. I think you obviously need some new players. Mm-hmm. But I also don't think you have much of an option except letting it ride till the offseason. Because are you going to make, like, that drastic of a schematic change in the middle of the season? I mean, you could, but that seems less likely. Maybe like a hybrid. Are you going to get new players in the middle of the season? Again, you could.
You got Amari Cooper last year when you saw that was your weakness.
You could. But I wonder if they're like, I mean, we already did that. But I would be like, do you see how well that paid off? You know, so like, you could. Do I think they will? I don't know. And so that's my concern, is to your question, Corey. I think like they're just going to sit there and go, well, we pretty much have to let it ride until the offseason, and they're not going to do anything
else.
And
if you do that, that is going to be the thing that keeps you from winning in the playoffs, because the teams will know what your weakness is. So that's the problem. You can go make a move to add a player, and you had the opportunity. You could have gotten Sue for pretty cheap,
yeah,
for what he's worth,
right?
I mean, for the work that he does and for the battle that he puts up, man, God, you would have added toughness in that defensive line. But man, we got Malik Collins in a contract season. You know how guys play in contract seasons. Not this guy. He's not playing like that. And you know, you could have, there are places you could draft. You could have drafted Billings a couple of years ago. Maybe you make that trade for Geno Atkins. I don't know. But you got to get something in there. And something's got to change at some point for this team. Maybe it's Antoine Woods. If Antoine Woods shows back up and gets healthy, the human log, then maybe that changes everything. But they got to find something to fix this thing right now, or at the end of this season, it's going to be exactly what it was last year. Frustrating to sit there and watch a better opponent run right through you while you can't stop them, while your offense is trying to pick up and figure it out. That's exactly what's going to happen. And Kevin, that's the thing that you said. If you can't get to this place, then a lot of changes have to be made. And you know what's going to happen? If you move on from your head coach, a lot of new things are going to happen there too. Because a lot of new players, new coaching staff, a lot of changes are going to be made if the head coach is gone. And
yes,
I don't know if Jerry Jones is
quarterback people that could be new quarterback too. We're all aware of that.
I don't know if Jerry Jones is prepared to go through that right now, which means he keeps the head coach, blames it on the defensive line, moves on from the defensive coordinator, elevates Rashard, and we stick with where we are.
Here's why he can't do that. Here's why he can't do that. Because one of the things that we all thought we gave Jason Garrett credit for was keeping control of the locker room and making sure nobody gives up and keeping up the energy. That's what he's supposed to do, right? That's mm-hmm. the only thing on his plate. And they walk out there and pull their pants down and take a poop in the middle of the field. That's what they're doing for the first half until they figure it out and somebody fires them up, and then they go for the third quarter.
You know what?
You can't do that against good teams.
And we'll get to that later on tonight, Colby. Maybe that is what Garrett can do to change these first quarters. Maybe there is something that he can do, and we'll get to that later on this evening.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, Corey is going to take some Cowboys phone calls and isn't going to hang up on you. Probably.
I promise. Here's my question.
Ooh.
My question right now, why are you blaming Dak so much?
Okay.
Call in and give us a legitimate reason of why you're blaming Dak so much, and I won't hang up on you.
877-881-1053. Does he mean it? Next, right here on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, Corey Majors alongside Kevin Hagelin. We got Colby Sapp and Reggie in studio tonight, 877-881-1053. We're about to get to all your phone calls, and I promise not to hang up on everybody, all right?
I know that
like sometimes people get, they call in, they have very terrible opinions on things, and I start getting all fired up and hanging up, and I don't want to do that this evening. So call in legitimate reasons. Why are you blaming Dak so much? 877-881-1053. Kevin, that interception that he threw to Amari Cooper, that was not his fault. I just saw an interception in the Monday Night Football game just now, and I think it was Njoku. It bounced off of his hands and up into the air, and the Niners player picked it off because it was floating in the air.
Wow.
And that's not on the quarterback. That is on the receiver. And with Amari Cooper, he blames himself. He even said after the game that all he could think about was the fact that he was getting ready to turn and run. Oh, I'm sorry. That was off of Beckham's hands. Nope. Never mind. Callaway.
So many options.
Amari Cooper said all he could think about was turning up field and scoring rather than paying attention to the fundamentals of what he was supposed to do, catch and go. And I know people are like, oh, but it's a $35 million arm we're talking about. It shouldn't that have been a more accurate pass? That is that you cannot not catch that ball. The second interception, Kevin, the one that he threw to Sullivan, I think I watched the play. He thought, okay, I faked to Zeke. I just drew that guy down into coverage, but Sullivan never left his zone. He stayed where he was, never sucked down where Ezekiel Elliott was, and Dak thought he got him. And then he looked up and was like, uh-oh, that's not good. By the time he let the go of the ball, right. Interception, that's on Dak. He should have checked one more time. He thought
it seemed like he was a little bit behind a couple of different times in that game.
And then there were a couple other ones. The ones the King almost got, man, that was, whew, that should have been an interception. Then there was one in the end zone that got turned back. I don't know where he was throwing that. That was still called back because of penalty. And then it was
kind of hope that he knew it was a penalty and he's like, I can just do whatever.
And the one to the where he threw to Michael Gallup, he was trying to draw a flag, he said. And they said, are you coached to do that? And he said, no comment. And then, I mean, so he was trying to draw a penalty on that play. And he should have.
Yeah.
Damn, he should have.
I know.
877-881-1053.
I know.
Call in right now. Because I think that here's the situation. People want to tank. They want to move on. They're like, God,
people want to tank already?
I'm tired of Dak. We got to get another quarterback. So we're going to have to tank to get one.
Who are these people?
Dak
you
is
have
your
a winning record.
Go look at Twitter, Reggie. Dak is your quarterback at least this year. Okay. Probably next year, too. And I don't think...
I'm not 100% sold on that if you have to make some of those wholesale changes.
I don't think the contract question is getting answered anytime soon.
Sure.
That being said, I still think
I
still think Dak Prescott is a good quarterback for this team. I really do. Now, do I think I can find a guy that maybe has more arm talent? Yes. Do I think that I can find a guy that maybe has better leadership qualities? I don't know that. Because you never know how a guy is going to respond when he walks into a room full of guys that are staring at him saying, all right, what are you going to bring to this thing?
Yeah.
So I do have the question, though. 877-881-1053. Call in right now. Why are you blaming Dak so much? And I promise not to hang up on everybody. And from the 817, he's an average quarterback at best. All right, let's start things off. At best, Kevin.
Wow.
Oh, man, the texts are pouring in, too.
Okay.
877-881-1053. You can call in. You can be famous on the radio and talk. And you tell your family, hey, I'm on right now. Listen. Okay. Not you.
Oh. Well, I mean, I want to be on the radio.
Marcus in Dallas. You're on DFW Sports Station, 105.3 The Fan. What's up, Marcus?
Yeah, my problem isn't necessarily with Dak. It's a long term for this team. Listen, you can't go 16-0 every single year. But the problem is what the front office did in the summer. You married Tank, you married Jalen, you married Zeke. You're going to marry Dak and Cooper. This team is on course to be slightly above average with no money for upgrades for 4 to 5 years.
That's pretty good. I mean, he's got a really good point there, actually, Kevin. Like we looked at everything as contracts were coming up, and we started thinking to ourselves, hey, man, we need to sign people so we can have this window within their contracts.
And you need to, and that's one of the things. Like, I don't want it to be said that like everything is in the front office and the coaching staff. Like, I think plenty is, but I also need some of those people to live up to their contracts. You know, like I need Ezekiel Elliott to make some plays on his own and live up to that contract.
He was looking good on Sunday.
I need DeMarcus Lawrence to break free once in a while off of double coverage and make some of those plays. I need, whether you do it with Dak and Cooper, but I need Jalen Smith to live up to that contract. Like, yes. I need these people to live up to these contracts too, or else he's right. You'll be sitting there going, yeah, you know, we might make it this year.
Kevin, Cooper had a 23-yard catch. Zeke had a 12-yard run, and it was about to be a 38-yard touchdown on that first drive that would have set the Cowboys up to be up 7-0.
Yeah.
And in the driver's seat the entire way.
And I do wonder, like, is that different if Cooper doesn't fall down on what would have been a touchdown? Yep. Is that going to be? Like,
next
there
play.
Are so many things that could have been different, but I can't judge it off of
and
that.
And two of those were not, you know, super easy lead your receiver passes. I mean, Dak was the guy that threw both of those passes that made Cooper, you know, misstep a little bit here and there. The rhythm wasn't quite there.
And some of that misstep was dating back to when he tipped up a ball that got intercepted. He was looking that ball in more than an average receiver would, or than a receiver would normally in that situation.
Let's go to Ray in Arlington. You're on DFW Sports Station, home of the Rangers, 105.3 The Fan. What's up, Ray?
Hey, Tolo here.
And the Cowboys.
Hey, man, I don't think it was Dak's fault at all that they lost that ball.
Oh, we lost him. I just want for the record, I did not hang up on him.
Corey's back at it.
I did not hang
up
on him. No, I did not. Let's go to
Ryan. I mean, technically you did.
Let's go to Ryan in Dallas. Ryan, you're on DFW Sports Station. What's up, man?
Hey, man. Thank you so much for having me on your show, by the way. I appreciate it.
Sure thing.
But what I think it is, I think it's an offensive play calling a little bit in the first half. I think our passing has...
Oh, that's where you're wrong,
Ryan. Hold on! Wait a second! You just said you weren't going to do that!
Well, it was my turn to talk, Kevin.
He said, thank you for having me on the show.
I appreciate it, but the first thing he said was that offensive play calling was bad. Did I not just tell you what happened? The first... Zeke had a 12-yard run.
But what about after that?
There was a 23-yard pass to Amari Cooper, and then there was about to be a 38-yard touchdown pass.
Not cool,
The play
Corey.
Calling on the first drive was fantastic. Okay, listen, I'm sorry. I thought it was my turn to talk. I thought I was the host of the show, Kevin. I thought we hosted this thing.
Why couldn't you go back and forth? Why did you have to hang up on him?
Is there a pause button? Because I couldn't just pause him. Oh, next time, just say stop and let me talk with you.
Okay,
I'm sorry.
Maybe
I'm
not like that, but yeah.
Trying to learn how this thing works,
okay.
Man.
All right.
Let's go to Fita. Is it Fita in Dallas? You're on DFW Sports Station, home of the Cowboys. What's up?
Yeah, Fita in Dallas. Hey, guys. Listen, at the end of the day, Dak, he needs a real coach to coach him. He just needs somebody there for him. But right now, all we got is guys that have never started before, and they're coaching him.
Man. Oh, wow. I love when people take shots at this guy. You never played in the game.
Yeah, take that, Bill Belichick.
About. You're on a starter. But, you know, maybe it has something to do with it. Dak needs somebody that's just there for him.
I mean, I support the first part of that call.
Take that, maybe, Josh McDaniels.
That maybe he needs it. Well, you know. But maybe he needs a new coach. But that's the thing is, I don't think that that's something that's going to change in season. Although somebody did tell me on Twitter, hey, wouldn't be the first Green Bay game that sent a head coach packing. So
I see what you did there.
I don't think that is going to happen. So I don't disagree that we need a new coach. You're going to have to sit with that for the next 11 games.
All right. 877-881-1053. Let's go to Austin in Hold on. Austin and Dallas?
You sure it's not Dallas and Austin?
Are you Dallas and Austin or Austin and Dallas?
Hey, it's Austin and Dallas. What's up, guys?
That's such an awesome way to go about it.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to touch. I thought on the subject of Dak's arm, the $35 million arm thing,
All right, listen, I just want to make
it
clear.
Wait a minute.
What?
He doesn't have a $35 million arm. All right, he's not getting paid $35 million.
Is this because he said he just wanted to touch and didn't say?
No, I'm sorry, but hey, what was his name? Austin. Dallas?
Yeah.
I think
it was El Paso.
All right, listen, Abilene, I didn't mean to hang up on you.
Golly.
But he doesn't have a $35 million arm yet. He's not being paid that. And you know what? I don't think he should be making $35 million a year just because that's the going rate. Pay the quarterback what he actually deserves, especially if he's going to get you those wins. I also think that the contract situation is at the end of the year. Whatever his agent was asking for, let that be that. Let that be part of what his agent's asking for, separate of what he's doing on the field. That's a different story than what they're doing right now in season. Sorry about hanging up on him.
I don't know if you are.
You know what?
I don't think he is either.
All right, then. All right, let's go to Chris in Fort Worth. I love Fort Worth. Let's go to Chris in Fort Worth. You're on DFW Sports Station. What's up, Chris?
Hey, what's going on? Two things. First off, it's your show. You hang up on whoever you want to hang up.
Just
no! He was so close!
Tanny had a second thing!
He had a second thing!
Oh, crap. He told me I could hang up if I wanted to, though.
He was Team Corey, and you just said, F that.
I think the second thing was good, too.
I was Team Chris.
I just want to say, for the record, I did not know that this is how this was going to go, and I'm genuinely shocked at the turn of events in the last 3 minutes.
How many times did you promise us?
I promised I would not hang up on everybody, right?
Oh,
look at this loophole.
Did you just technically loophole us?
I'm sorry about that. I didn't let him get his second thing out, and I really appreciate Chris calling. I appreciate all the callers that are attempting to make valid points here. I really do. I'm sorry about that, Chris. What was it that made me hang up? He told me I could hang up on him. That's
why. You don't even remember.
Yeah, but I think he was hoping that you would be like, thank you. What is your second point? But
you're drunk with
you
power.
Just said, bloop. From the 817. That is a power move.
Let's go to Taylor in Fort Worth. All right, here we go. Taylor, you got your chance right now. Go.
Hey, man, I feel like I'm on the hot seat right now. But, you look at the first three games, Dak was on. His fundamentals from the offseason were on. You get to the Saints game, his composure looked off, and he's throwing off his back foot. He's kind of doing that lean back toss. It all seemed off.
You know what? It's a valid point. All those things are true.
And
none of that was a hot take either. That was all true stuff. After, in the Saints game, he started to look uncomfortable. The Saints made him look uncomfortable. And they did it with pressure. They did it by stuffing the run game. They did a good job. They were sound defensively. And with, in the last game, you're right. The pocket was starting to push back into him. He's throwing off his back foot. I'll tell you what, though. Did you see that honey of a pass that he threw to Ezekiel Elliott? Dropped that one in the bucket. That was beautiful. He got hit on it. The touchdown pass he threw to Michael Gallup. Got killed on it. And somehow he was able to stand in the pocket. And people are upset. They're still mad about that quarterback? They're blaming him for all this stuff when he's making plays like that? Man, he did not lose that interception, and that's the thing that started off. Kevin, I got Chris. I got Chris back on the phone. Chris called
the
back
same
in
Chris?
From Fort Worth.
Okay.
I told you that I'm not hanging up on everybody, but I am giving him a chance to get his second thing in. What's up, man?
Hey, what's going on? I'm still Team Corey.
Thank you.
Let's get it. Anyways. Second thing, I was going to say, I love the whole Dak is a leader type thing, but at a certain point, you got to follow through on all this pillow talk. You can't just take the blame every time and take it on the chin. At a certain point, you got to step up and follow through.
He's right.
No, absolutely. And a lot of times, I feel like that gets trotted out when you see a shortcoming from him in the game, like a physical trait or a throw or whatever. I feel like that's a lot of times when people fall back on the, but he's such a great leader. And I'm like, yeah, rock on. And I appreciate that. But I also need you to be able to complete this pass.
I had a moment last night, Kevin, where he said this, we're going to take what we learned from this game and we're going to be better next week. And Kevin, I tweeted out, that's what you said last week.
Yeah.
And I have a problem with that. Don't feed me lines. Yeah. Don't put something in a can and say, you know what, I'm going to open it up every time I get an opportunity because this is what I need this week.
That's how I feel about when we got to watch the film. And I was like, fair enough for a more nuanced discussion, but tell me what you were thinking in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why did you make that decision in the moment? Like, tell me why you didn't see a safety slide into position where they could make the pick or whatever. Like, what did you see in the moment that led to this?
All right.
And then I'll listen to film study later.
Kevin? Austin called back. I want to give Austin. Look, I'm the man of
in
the
Dallas,
people. I am the man of the people. All right. I give you. I'm sorry. I apologize. Austin for hanging up earlier. I can't. I'm sorry. What's going on, man?
It's all right, guys. I still love y'all. I was just going to say, not every quarterback can be deadly accurate every time. I mean, quarterbacks make mistakes all the time. And I just feel like that gets more criticism than any quarterback in the league. And then I just wanted to add a note that. When JG threw that flag, that was probably the proudest I've ever been of him in my Cowboys, fan career, I guess you could say. But yeah, I appreciate y'all letting me back on. I'll let y'all take it off from here.
Thanks, okay. Austin. I appreciate you.
So he probably makes a lot of sense, especially with the first point, but I do agree with the second point too, is people are really quick to try to find the numbers to criticize the person they don't already like. Like I saw the statistic floating around today about, have you seen Dak's record against winning teams? And then I immediately saw Aaron Rodgers' record against winning teams, and I was like, oh, so he has a losing record too. Okay. Oh, well, fair enough.
So winning teams are good?
Yeah. So the breaking news, winning teams sometimes get to be winning because they defeated you. And
okay.
So I didn't panic as much about that, but I think that he does have a point. Is like there are a lot of people who have already made up their mind and there's no way it's going to change. And so when you see a terrible throw from him, he's going to get buried by people on social media and a certain section of Cowboys fans.
All right, real quickly, I want to get to a couple real quick. Let's go to Andres in Kent. You're on DFW Sports Station. What's up, Andres? Oh, you're done. All right, Clay in Fort Worth.
What?
You're on DFW Sports Station. Clay,
oh,
what's going on?
Yeah.
Hey, guys, what's going on?
Nope. All right, Ricky in Louisville.
He was there.
Kevin, hold on. I'm trying to do something right now.
Okay.
Ricky in Louisville, what's going on, man?
You know, y'all are...
All right, let's go to Parker in Denton. Parker, I love that city of Denton. What's going on?
Hey, guys, how you doing? Thanks for having me on.
All right, hey, I appreciate you calling in. Patrick in Dallas, what's up, man?
Is that all he wanted to say?
Oh, this is Wes.
Oh, Wes, what's up? All right, let's go to Parker in Dallas. Or Patrick in Dallas.
Yeah, it's not Parker.
You're on DFW Sports Station. What's up, man?
Where are the RPOs at?
That's what I'm talking
That's
about.
That's a great
that
question.
That's what I'm talking about. And you know what? The last call, there's plenty of, I mean,
okay.
Everybody's just pouring
okay.
in calls. I want to talk to Jose, though. Jose, are you my buddy from Puerto Rico that I went to second grade with?
Brett
Maher. Oh, that's what. Oh, dude.
Yeah.
Man.
Wait, did you say Jose is in Puerto Rico?
No, I had a friend from Puerto Rico named Jose back in second grade, and I think he actually went back.
Man.
He plays trumpet.
What are the percentages that was not his name? That's just what Corey called him.
Oh, that's really high with Corey.
By the way,
the phones are still lighting
what
up.
What I really wish you guys could have been here for. Is listening to Colby. I can hear him around the hall as Corey absolutely has no concept of reading who's on what line. You can hear Colby go, wait, what? No.
Hey, I appreciate everybody that called in tonight. And you know what? I hope I learned, you know, a little better of how to not hang up. And I hope we have a better friendship now that we've been able to accomplish what we did tonight.
Okay, I counted at least three people who are furious and hate you forever on the fan text. If you want to respond to them. But
and
the rest
rightfully
of you,
so.
Yeah. I agree. We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Don't worry, no more segments to infuriate the people. Coming up next, let's talk a little politics
segment.
And the hypocrisy of the NBA when it comes to dealing with China.
Huh?
Next on The Fan.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
This segment of the KNC Masterpiece is brought to you by Mesquite Mitsubishi. You can get a new Mirage for $11,900, and that's only at Mesquite Mitsubishi. Check them out online at mymitsu.com.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, where we never infuriate you with comments or phones.
Never.
Or whatever.
Don't read the fan text.
People aren't, you can't really be mad about that. I don't know how to use a phone. I don't know how the phones work.
Oh.
You found the hang up button real good.
Yeah, I did.
Let's see a couple of people.
It's the closest button to me. I figured that was the one that turned the volume up for people. I'm just trying to figure out how this thing works. 877.
You don't learn very good, dude.
881-1053. You can text in to be part of this conversation with us right now. I can't hang up on you if you text. So texting in is the way that you can really drive home your feelings about the NBA and what's going on with China. Now, Kevin, this is a very weird story. I got a synopsis from Reggie, but if you've ever talked to Reggie, he's not just going to give you like the Cliff's Notes. He's going to give you the full information.
Sure.
You did a fantastic job, Reggie, of filling me in earlier today on
Sorry.
This. No, it was great because I actually have a lot of learning knowledge to work with here. but Daryl Morey tweeted out a picture that has infuriated some people, and the NBA now is caught in a position of, what do we do about people who buy things from us and invest in what we do and one of our employees?
Yeah, so I would like to know more about how the NBA is going to get out of this without looking like total hypocrites. When last we visited a major social issue from the NBA, they had to move the All-Star game out of Charlotte because North Carolina had put on what they determined were oppressive rules for the LGBTQ community. And so they had to move it, even though they eventually gave them a new All-Star game, even though not really has much has changed in terms of those laws. And so at that point, the NBA absolutely made you can describe it as political or social or however you want. They definitely made a decision that they're going to step into social policy. And now you had Daryl Morey siding with the Hong Kong protesters. There's been a protest going on in Hong Kong for some time, which quite frankly makes sense to me. China has an abysmal human rights record. And because of this, some people are even saying he might lose his job. Tillman Fertitta, one of the owners of the Houston Rockets, came out and said, listen, Daryl Morey does not speak for the Houston Rockets. Well, I mean, he's your general manager, so to a certain extent, he kind of does. Then he went on, our presence in Tokyo is all about the promotion of the NBA internationally, and we are not a political organization. Again, the NBA established a couple of years ago that perhaps they would be a political organization. But then Adam Silver stepped into it and said that he respects Daryl Morey's freedom of speech. One of the reasons that, well, people were pressuring him to speak out because there was a company in China that said they will no longer air the NBA broadcast rights to Rockets games until Daryl Morey provides a, quote, reasonable explanation and probably an apology.
What reasonable explanation for
why
his
he would dare speak up for the Hong Kong protesters.
Okay.
And the timing of this is phenomenal. Like, I know a lot of people are like, I don't watch South Park anymore. And that's perfectly fine if you don't watch South Park now or never did. But South Park did an excellent episode on Wednesday all about Chinese censorship and how companies like Disney and anybody else would do anything they could to make sure that they get into the Chinese markets, and even joked about the fact that the Chinese leader looks kind of like Winnie the Pooh, and Winnie the Pooh is censored in China. Did you know that? That's a real thing, by the way.
Yes.
Because they didn't want those jokes made. Well, today, because this all kind of ties together, South Park has been scrubbed from the Chinese internet because of that episode. So they are not allowed in any facet of the internet in China. To which they put out what I thought was a tremendous, tremendous tweet. Quote, like the NBA, we welcome the Chinese censors into our home and our hearts. We too love money more than freedom and democracy. Z doesn't look like Winnie the Pooh at all. Tune into our 300th episode this Wednesday at 10. Long live the great Communist Party of China. May the autumn sorghum harvest be bountiful. We good now, China? And it makes a really good point about how the NBA looks really hypocritical in this because they've determined that, well, we'll step up for some social issues as long as it won't impact our bottom line. Because think about it. Did they threaten to take away the Hornets franchise? No. But they moved the All-Star game because they knew they would have a replacement and it wouldn't affect their bottom line and it wouldn't affect the ticket sales or anything like that. So they're like, we stand up for gay people in this situation. But do you stand up for the human rights in China? No, because that's a big wad of cash that could really affect them. So I can't wait to see, honestly, what the NBA is going to do about this and if Daryl Morey would actually lose his job because the Fertittas don't approve of how this might impact their business overseas. And Adam Silver already stepping out and said, yeah, we support his ability to speak his mind. I want to know if there's going to be like any other consequences to this because some people seem to think that Daryl Morey could absolutely lose their job and there could be an apology on the way.
The NBA has kind of done a pretty good job of keeping all this kind of stuff from happening, right? Aside from, North Carolina?
North Carolina.
Yes.
But they've done a pretty good job of keeping themselves out of these kinds of issues. And I don't know how they are going to be able to recover from something like this if it turns into that big of a money factor.
It's a lot of money.
Just saying, no longer are we going to be there. And I don't know if you gain more support here locally, and then you say, well, now we turn our attention to this, and we don't bother ourselves with what's going on over there. Do we have a reason from Daryl Morey, though, of why he really wants to be involved with this, what his purpose of it is?
Has he said that yet? I don't think so because he actually deleted the tweet and posted an apology. So I don't...
Because he was told to.
Oh, of course. Of course. 100%.
And Daryl Morey on Twitter has been vocal about political and social issues prior. I think something that's vital to understand in this situation is the Rockets rather recently changed ownership hands when it comes to the majority ownership from the previous owner to this Tillman Fertitta. Now, the previous owner was very lax and laid back, so there was a lot of room for Daryl Morey to do all of that. And then on top of that, have a lot of the reins on the team. Now Tillman Fertitta comes in, and one of the most notable things about Tillman Fertitta, he is a booster for the University of Houston. He operates like a booster. He likes to be involved, and he likes to say so. So I think that plays in when we talk about this as well. Daryl Morey doesn't have as much leeway as he used to have, and I think he was trying to operate like he used to and realized, no, you can't be as political, as outspoken, because it does reflect on the team.
Especially because, well, it's really interesting, former Rocket Yao Ming, I do believe, is the head of the Chinese envoy for the NBA.
Yeah, we did a whole story on that, yeah.
And I believe he's the president of the CBA, the Chinese Basketball Association.
Yes.
And they have 200 NBA employees that work in NBA offices in Beijing and Shanghai, and there's like billions of dollars at stake. And so this is why I'm really fascinated by this topic. What's the NBA going to do when it might cost them money? Like, when they knew it wouldn't cost them any money, and like a lot of Americans seem like they were on their side, they were like, all right, we're going to make this move because a lot of people support it and it's not going to cost them anything. What are they going to do to stand up for what I would say a lot of people believe is right?
Well, I'd argue that the NBA has always acted in the interest of their bottom line, right? Like, we can go back to the Donald Sterling thing, which was Adam Silver's big coming out party when it comes to like being the quote unquote woke commissioner, or whatever you'd like to call him. Commissioner, get it right. That was going to mess with their money. Donald Sterling saying something that was pretty patently racist on tape, getting out to the public, made it so that the public would then turn on Donald Sterling. And then the players, it became an issue with the players and the public. Donald Sterling was racist for a long time. Go and look up his history when it came to housing segregation and so on and so forth. Like, it was the openness of it that made it a problem. North Carolina, it was the openness of it and the fact that there was a lot of public pushback on that made it so that the NBA acted. In this instance, they get pushback from a partner who, mind you, when you talk about human rights issues, Those aren't new. Those have been there since before.
A long time, yeah.
Since before that that partnership came into factor for the NBA. So, like, this is something that the NBA has somewhat come to terms with. They are making an act not based off of any sort of moral obligation, but because it's messing with the money.
I know, and that's why I like to see it when those two things collide and people have to own up to what they really care about. I have no problem with people who are business first all the time, as long as there's no pretense about their business first all the time. And I'm kind of fascinated that those two worlds might, at least to a certain extent, start to collide, and the NBA might have to do something. What are they going to do? Well, they ain't dropping their TV rights and all their stuff in China. So,
oh, that's a huge market.
Yeah, I don't anticipate any major change in their stance.
What's so amazing, too, is like within just think about within the NBA. How many people all disagree with whatever,
sure,
whenever it comes to what decisions should be made.
Sure.
And that doesn't include the presence of the NBA fans as well as everybody else that's invested. So, I mean, it is a great discussion about how you can suffice and fulfill everybody's happiness.
So if you thought you were going to keep an eye out on the Rockets for just the on-court product, maybe stick around and see what
happens.
Is
that explosive? Is that going to... Westbrook and Harden.
Kind of curious. Like, I would love for right now for Westbrook to come out and go, that's right, I also support the Hong Kong protesters, and then they have to respond and like, what's going to happen next?
Well, did you see that?
I mean, I do, so.
Well, did you see that James Harden, while standing next to Russell Westbrook, and when talking to some reporters, he basically put on the, I love China, we really love China, we appreciate their support and all that. They laid it on pretty thick.
All right. Good company men right there. They know who cashes the checks. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Gridiron Gravy NFC Edition. Could this be the toughest player in the NFL? Talk about it next on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.